Have you ever felt like life's challenges reflect your own mistakes? Jacob's story in Genesis takes a dramatic turn as he encounters someone just as cunning as himself, his uncle Laban. From a deceptive wedding switch to family dysfunction, Jacob learns hard lessons about God's grace and faithfulness. Despite manipulation and strife, God fulfills his promises. Keep listening to learn how grace triumphs even when sin abounds.
Jacob is now running for his life because Esau is making plans to kill him. He's being sent to safety to the family home of his mother, Rebekah, in Mesopotamia. That's 500 miles away. And it's been a long journey alone. And as Jacob is camping out one night, he has a dream that sort of sets the stage for everything that will happen to him for the rest of his life. Here in Genesis chapter 28, that dream is described in verses 12 to 15. Jacob sees a ladder descending from heaven. He hears the promises of God being repeated to him. And let me tell you something. Jacob has essentially ruined just about everything he's touched. He's deceived. He's divided his family. And now while he's out here in the wilderness alone, God shows up in a dream to reassure Jacob that God's going to keep his promises. You might think God would start over. No, God will bless Jacob in spite of Jacob. The Lord wants Jacob, in fact, all of us, to grasp this truth. When your sin drives you into a spiritual wilderness, God's grace can still reach you there. Right now, you might be experiencing the consequences of your sin. You're in the wilderness, so to speak. God knows what you've done. God knows where you are. And you're not beyond the reach of his grace. Now, God's not going to show up in a dream, you know, with a ladder from heaven. He's going to show up to us in the truth of his word. He's closer to you than you might think. Indeed, as that old song goes, he's only a prayer away. Pray right now. Confess your sin to Jesus Christ, no matter where you are, no matter how far you've strayed from him. Well, now here in the text, in this dramatic dream, the Lord repeats to Jacob the covenant promises. Now, God promises the same thing to Abraham back in chapter 12. He promises the same thing to Isaac in chapter 26, the promises of a literal land, a literal nation, and a literal blessing through Israel that will one day impact the entire earth. Hadn't happened yet. Partially, yes. Not completely. Well, now here in chapter 29, Jacob arrives at his ancestral home in Haran. Now, almost immediately, the prettiest girl shows up. She just so happens to be his cousin. And Jacob is invited to stay with his uncle Laban and work for him, tending his flocks. And we read here in verse 15 that after about a month, Laban hires Jacob permanently. In fact, he asks Jacob to name his wages. Well, Jacob doesn't want money. He wants to marry Laban's daughter. So he offers to work for 7 years for Rachel's hand in marriage. Laban agrees, and after 7 years, well, now it's a wedding, and he finances a huge wedding party. But he secretly switches the bride, who would have been, you know, completely veiled in that culture. And the next morning, Jacob, well, he's in for the wedding surprise of the century. It isn't Rachel lying next to him. It's her older sister, Leah. Verse 25 tells us, Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you've done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "Well, it's not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." In other words, that's not how we do it out here in Mesopotamia. Oh, let me tell you, Jacob the deceiver has just been out deceived. Jacob had taken advantage of his father Isaac, who couldn't see very well. Guess what? Laban has taken advantage of the fact that Jacob couldn't see very well in that dark wedding tent. Jacob had pretended to be his older brother. Leah has pretended to be her younger sister. Well, that's what you call getting a dose of your own medicine. Well, after a rather heated exchange, Laban agrees to give Rachel to Jacob, but only if Jacob promises to work for him on the family farm for another 7 years. What can Jacob do but agree? Verse 30 reads, "So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served Laban for another 7 years." Now that phrase, "he loved Rachel more than Leah," sets the tone for a wagon load of family problems. Verse 31 says, "When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, 'Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me.'" Well, the Lord then gives Jacob 3 more sons by Leah. By the way, in spite of Jacob, God is fulfilling his promise in giving him a growing family that's going to turn into a nation one day. But the problems are growing as well. Genesis chapter 30 now in verse 1 tells us, "When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. And she said to Jacob, 'Give me children or I shall die.'" Well, what's he supposed to do about her jealousy? Well, Rachel has a solution. She gives Jacob her maid, Bilhah, that she might bear children on Rachel's behalf. Jacob, well, he goes along with the plan, and Bilhah has 2 sons. And then when Leah ceases having children, she gives Jacob her maid, Zilpah, who bears Jacob 2 more sons. Beloved, this chapter is not a manual on marriage and family. This is not how to build a family. God reports what's going on, and God works his will in spite of it. He's not condoning polygamy. He's not condoning adultery. This passage is simply recording this intrigue and manipulation and competition and greed. And God is, however, using these sinful decisions of all involved ultimately to produce the 12 sons of Jacob. Now, that's something God could have done had Jacob been faithful to one wife according to God's design. In fact, keep in mind that Leah, Jacob's first wife, is the woman who bears Judah. Judah will become the royal tribe from which the promised Messiah, the covenant promise, through him arrives. Well, after 20 years of these women competing against each other in this baby race, Leah has 6 sons and 1 daughter. Zilpah has 2 sons. Rachel finally has 1 son, Joseph. Again, the timeless principle here is that God's grace and goodness can intersect your life, not because you've been faithful, but in spite of the fact that you haven't been. Now, I'm not trying to justify sin here. I'm trying to exalt the grace of God. Where sin increases, the Apostle Paul wrote, the grace of God abounds even more, Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Well, now back here in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 25, Jacob is ready to leave town. But Laban knows that Jacob's been good for the family business. And so, you know, he urges Jacob to stay and even set his own wages. Jacob tells Laban he'll stay if he can keep any speckled and spotted sheep and goats, less desirable, as well as all the black sheep that are born. Laban quickly agrees because this gives him the advantage of a better flock. Now, people are confused about what Jacob does here in verse 37. Frankly, Jacob is simply using an old superstition by peeling rods of certain trees and placing them before the flocks as they mate. In other words, he's not trusting God. He's up to using old tricks. And amazingly, Jacob's flocks multiply. But again, God is not blessing Jacob's flocks because of this superstition. In spite of it, he's multiplying his flocks. Now, as we come to chapter 31 here, we find Laban's sons accusing Jacob of stealing their inheritance. Even Laban is becoming hostile. He sees Jacob prospering in spite of his efforts to take advantage of Jacob's labor. Those deceptive efforts, Jacob says here in verse 7, include Laban changing his wages 10 different times. You know, Jacob certainly met his match in old Uncle Laban. Well, finally, the Lord speaks to Jacob here in verse 3 and says, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you." Now, that's all Jacob needs to hear. God is going to continue to be faithful to Jacob and prospering him and protecting him, not because Jacob deserves it or he earned it, but because God has promised it. That's grace, by the way. Sin abounds, God's grace abounds even more. Wow. Well, that's all the time we have today. Until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Jacob's story shows how God's grace triumphs over human failure. His promises remain steadfast, even in the midst of family challenges. That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called, Jacob Meets His Match. We've created a tool to help you explore the Bible quickly and easily. Just type your question, and Stephen's teachings will provide instant, reliable answers. No more guessing or searching unreliable sources. Visit wisdomonline.org/ask or click the blue icon on any page and get trusted answers in seconds. Thanks for being with us today. I hope you're enjoying this journey through all 66 books of the Bible. Join us next time on The Wisdom Journey.